They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining us today, we have an old friend, Tom DeWeese. Tom is a neighbor because he lives in Virginia, but Tom takes a much bigger, broader view of what's going on, and he looks at property rights in general and what's happening across the board. Tom, thank you so much for joining us, and welcome as we start today with our 15th year of On the Commons.
Fantastic. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm glad to be back again.
So I'm glad you're celebrating with us. So what's been going on? I know you've been very busy. I know you've started webinars, and I know you're doing a lot of speaking across the country. And so tell us a little bit about what's going on.
Well, we, you know, of course, we're fighting Sustainable Development Agenda 21. And, we've been fighting this for over 20 years. Goes clear back to 1992. Actually goes before that, but that was when all that came to culmination. And we fought a very lonely battle for a long time. People were not listening, did not hear us, were not feeling the effects of it, so they didn't feel the need to get involved. Ranchers, people in the timber industry out in the West were the first targets, and that's where we were fighting during those years. But about 3 or 4 years ago, it really started to explode. I think it kind of goes along with the creation of the Tea Party as well, because you had people who were getting involved and trying to find out what was going on, and they were shocked to find out the massive rules and regulations that were coming out of their local government, let alone the federal and the state. And so the battle was on. And from that point on, we've had battles all over the country. We now have hundreds of people who are regularly speaking on the issues that we face. And we have had county commissions and city councils. For the first time, we're hearing from elected officials other than just to deride us. Usually, if I got a phone call from one of them, it's just to tell me how stupid I was. But now
That was from an elected official?
Oh yeah, we would hear it, you know, occasionally if they bothered to call us. They'd say, "Where are you getting this stuff? What is this, some kind of conspiracy theory? What are you talking about? I never heard of this." Yeah. Now we're getting, in fact, I just heard today from two county commissioners who are involved in this fight and understand, and Roanoke, Virginia, just this last week, not only did they vote out ICLEI, the International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives, they were paying dues to them. This is an organization that, on the international level, helped write Agenda 21, made it their mission to go into communities all over the world to implement it, had 600 American cities members of their organization are paying dues to them to come in and help their community implement these things. We have, over the last couple of years or so, since 2010, we have managed to get at least 150 cities. I can't even keep track of it anymore, but about 150 cities to drop their membership. And what Roanoke did, they not only drop the membership, which communities will do, but they'll leave the programs in place. In Roanoke, they moved to get rid of the programs as well. So that is a major victory that we've accomplished in since we've been fighting this.
What are the programs? Can you explain a little bit about them?
Well, it's massive. It literally addresses every aspect of our life. They sell Agenda 21, sustainable development, as a way, as a conservation program, as a way to stop overdevelopment, as a way to just smartly move forward in organizing our communities. But when you begin to look at the overall aspect of it, one of the major, the environmental end of it becomes the excuse. You can't get us to throw our liberties away for any other reason, but tell us environmental Armageddon will befall us if we don't, then people say, oh, well, maybe I better listen to this. So they use that excuse. But what really these plans are about are controlling the economy, controlling our use of energy, controlling how we develop our communities. One of the major planks of Agenda 21 is social justice or social equity. And what that really is redistribution of wealth. Americans are talking about how factories are shutting down in this country, about how we aren't able to get work here, and our companies are moving overseas. And that is part of this process. That's the redistribution of American wealth going into third world countries and supplanting these factories and stuff there. That's one aspect of it. Controlling our water use. The EPA is working right now. We've been talking about this for years, almost jokingly, because it's so absurd. But now I was told just last week it's beginning to move into place where literally a mud puddle on your property will be determined a navigable waterway.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding. In fact, I was even told by someone who's working on this that water under the surface will be considered that. And, controlling the water controls the society. And that's what they're really going after. And we laughed about this, but that's another whacked out crazy program. Years ago, we heard of an environmental group that was, seriously saying that, when the fault line goes in California and it falls into the ocean, we're going to have new coastlines in Nevada. And that means that there are birds that are going to need to live there. And so we're going to have to prepare their habitat now in preparation for that. Now, we laughed at that. Oh, how absurd are these people? Well, guess what I learned about last January at a meeting of people from who are working on these things. There's a new program called landscaping. Landscaping is exactly that. The idea that global warming is real. Without a doubt, we have to now prepare because animals and birds in the southern part of the country, it's going to become too hot for them. They're going to need to migrate to the north. We need to prepare the reserves where they're going to migrate to, and we need to prepare the pathways where they're going to migrate. And you think that's crazy? That is established in every single state in this country at this point, with lots of money behind it, and this is what's behind a lot of these efforts to lock away land. It's actually being put into place.
What happened to the ice age that we were supposed to be getting in the 60s?
Well, the fact is that in the last 17 years, there has been no warming whatsoever. In fact, to make the comparison, high school kids that are being pounded on about climate change, there has been no warming through the entire time they've been in school. So the global warming, climate change is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on humankind. But why do they continue to push it? Why, even though it's completely discredited, there's scientists after scientists after scientists that are now coming out saying, no, this is nuts. But you've got this little cadre of political activists why do they continue to do that? Because if they were to finally admit they were wrong, that this didn't exist, then all of the policies that they've been pushing to put into place under the idea of damaging the environment and climate change would go out the window, and they know it.
They seem to be controlling. There's this fear factor that we get from everywhere. Everyone controls you by scaring the living daylights out of you.
That's exactly the tactic. That's all they've got because they don't have sound science. They don't have anything else to back it up but to scare us to death. And then they go a different route. Here's what gets me, Shu, about this. If I work on something that I really believe in, I'm proud of it. That's why I'm behind it. That I will push it no matter what. I don't care what anybody says about it. I'll continue to push it unless you prove to me it's wrong. But these guys, up in the 90s and in the early 2000s, up until about 2005, they were very proud to say, Agenda 21. We're pushing this agenda. This is agenda for the 21st century. All 179 heads of state signed it. 50,000 delegates were at the Earth Summit in 1992. And we're proud of all this, what we're doing. Until we began to make it an issue, we began to stand up against it and say, wait a minute. And people were beginning to catch fire with it. All of a sudden, they started saying, what? Never heard of that. What are you talking about? I've spent the last several months digging up document after document after document where they were proudly saying, this is Agenda 21. 1998, the Federal Register did a report on the EPA's Environmental Challenge Grant Program. And it says in there, this is also part of the implementation of Agenda 21. Says it there, 1998. I got a 1994 American Planning Association newsletter in which this was a newsletter from the California area, Northern California, and it had an article in there about how sustainable is our planning. And there's one paragraph in there that ties the American Planning Association to Agenda 21, Al Gore, then President's Council on Sustainable Development, everything that we're saying, it's right there in that. Yet today they've got a myths and facts document on their website that says we have absolutely no connection whatsoever with Agenda 21. It's all myth, conspiracy theory. I've got a 1997 report from the United States to the United Nations. This is a report on how the United States is implementing, here it says at the top, implementation of Agenda 21, review of progress made since the United Nations Conference on Environment and Development in 1992, the Earth Summit. And this is a chapter-by-chapter report on each chapter of how they're implementing Agenda 21. But I'm a conspiracy theorist. I'm a nut with a tinfoil hat. Don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and you also have a wonderful website, and I neglected to give that. So you want to tell us what you do and tell us about the American Policy Center and where people can find it?
Yeah, the website is AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. We have on there an archive of 15 or so years of articles that I've written on this subject and many other subjects. We have worked on, our mission is limited government and free enterprise and individual liberty, but where we focused primarily, because this is where the need is on property rights, and we've become the main voice on, fighting Agenda 21. And because the fact is, you cannot implement sustainable development policies. It's impossible to implement it unless you have damaged private property rights. So if you're going to protect private property rights in this country, if that's your concern, if you care about what happens to your land, what you do with it, then you got to know what sustainable development is. And we are helping organize around the country people to stand up against this. We're finding now elected officials who are listening, who are beginning to implement our ideas. And I'll tell you what, this is scaring the you-know-what out of the other side, because we're having some major success now.
So I was going to say, you've been working on this for a while, and you probably were the lone voice out there when you started on this, were you?
There were four of us, basically, who were working on this. Henry Lamb is the man who created what we called Freedom 21, and we did 10 national conferences. We used to joke that we had the same 100 people every year. I said, oh, it's old home week, good to see y'all again. But we were training people.
Yeah.
And Henry's the one who discovered it. He's the one who brought it to us. My friend Michael Kaufman, is another voice who's been there since the beginning, Michael Shaw out in California. The four of us were basically the only people talking about this. But by about 2010, we had our last conference. And it's funny, just about the time we stopped having the conferences, the thing exploded. But we were training people, and they're now some of the main spokesmen who are out there talking about this, working in the legislatures, working in local communities, organizing, and it's taken hold.
Now, a number of you, you brought together a whole group of people who had very different interests, but yet you brought them in under the same umbrella. You had people who were interested in education, in medicine, in property rights, in all sorts of different areas. Why did you stop that? I thought that was such a beautiful, beautiful conference.
Well, it was. Henry began to get sick, and he died 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, and he wasn't able to do that. I carried it on for him, and but he didn't want to do them anymore, and we dropped it. I'm now looking at trying to go back and to organize it, because yeah, it was amazing that at the moment that things starts to explode, we succeeded in what we were trying to do.
Yeah.
Stop doing it. But the reason that I brought all those people together, in education and healthcare and you know, gun control, all these different issues, because they're all interrelated. Agenda 21 is an agenda to completely reorganize human society. If you don't get that, you don't understand what it is. And when you're talking about that kind of massive reorientation, you're talking about all they love to take us and break us down and divide and conquer us, fighting individual issues. We spend all of our energy over here and all of our energy over there, and we're not looking at the main you know, source of where all this is coming from, what it's all about, and you start scratching your heads. I mean, how many times do I hear people say to me, why are they doing this? I don't understand why they take this. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
you have to look at the entire agenda to have that make sense.
Yeah, no. We're talking to Tom DeWeese. He is CEO, president, and founder of the American Policy Center in Virginia, and he's been educating a lot of us, including me, on Agenda 21. And I do appreciate that, Tom, because I had no idea. I mean, I was doing my thing, which is why I think what you did was so brilliant. But I was doing my thing, and my focus was on HOAs. Yet there were other issues, and now I'm seeing how everything is bubbling to the surface, because you allow in HOAs, you allow HOAs to take over so much control of your life and your own property, and now you're getting people like local municipal governments, state governments, and just all kinds of weird and wonderful, not so wonderful people who are beginning to act very much like an HOA.
Okay.
If they can get away with it, why can't your county government or your city government or your courts?
Yeah, I've often said that Agenda 21 is an HOA on an international level, and that's really what it is.
It is. It so, is. It's absolutely correct.
Yeah, and you set it up that way, and it, as you say, you go to federal government, to state government. What you had here, the way this all came about, the other side keeps telling us that what they're doing, their local planning, has nothing to do with Agenda 21. It's all local. It's just crazy conspiracy theory that we're saying it comes from the United Nations. You talk to your elected officials, they say, I never heard of that. I don't know what you're talking about. That may well be true, because here's what happened. These non-governmental organizations that are sanctioned by the United Nations, they have equal footing with government representatives there. And but that's by way of the charter of the United Nations. And they worked in the back scenes, in the back rooms for several years. There were several international conferences. There were two habitat conferences where they were talking about reorganizing human habitat. You know, they had the their conference on global governance. You had all this. All these things came together in the culmination of Agenda 21. This was their plan that they've been working on all that time. As soon as they had the Earth Summit in 92 and George H.W. Bush signed, yeah, America's for this, okay, fine, these same NGOs, we're talking the Sierra Club, the Nature Conservancy, the Audubon Society, of course, ICLEI I mentioned earlier, all these organizations, and there's thousands of them, went into the federal government. They started working with the bureaucracy, working with congressional people there, to put together particularly grant programs. This is the key. This is the Kool-Aid, grant programs. And these grant programs are designed to have very specific strings attached that if you take the grant, if you're a city council and you say, well, we just want to revitalize downtown, what's that mean to you and me? That means they're going to put some new, they're going to pave the streets, maybe put in some new sidewalks. You see these towns with their little brick sidewalks everywhere and everything. You know?
Uh-huh.
It's revamping, putting a new coat of paint on everything. But you take the money and you find, oh, now there's regulations here. You're going to have to put bike paths on the side. You're going to have certain kind of building materials used. We're going to do traffic calming, which means we're going to put great big speed bumps in the middle of the street. Everything designed to now they got a new one where you have to back into your parking space. Some of the towns like Manassas, Virginia, I know particularly, they are setting up little receptacles there for electric cars, and they flat out say, if we don't do this, nobody will buy those cars. These strings are attached that if you're going to take this money, these are the kind of things you have to do. That is implementation of Agenda 21. And so they got that into the, through the federal government, got these grant programs together. Then they went to the state governments, and they lobbied there to get almost every state in the union now has regulations that tell local communities they've got to do comprehensive development plans. They had the counties and the cities sitting there going, what the heck is a comprehensive development plan? Ah, the same NGOs that wrote it on the international level, put it together on the federal level, went into the state, all of a sudden meets in the local level and they say, ah, we've got the plans for you. Hey, it's all in a box right here. We've got international regulations on electrical wiring, international regulations on plumbing. We've got everything laid out for you here. You don't have to sign it right here. We got it all for you. Here's the money. And that's the way it's gotten into your local community. And these organizations are private organizations. They claim themselves to be stakeholders. What? You're a stakeholder.
Yeah.
You live there. These guys are carpetbaggers. They come in and they decide. They start setting up regional governments. They start setting up councils. You have a water council. You have an energy council. You have regulations on how high your grass can be. There you go, with the homeowners association, in the whole community.
Speaking of homeowners associations and tying all of this in with them, I heard that and I don't know where this started, but they've come up with something called permeable asphalt. And what this does, now we're talking about building and building and building, and so we're increasing density to the point where everything is asphalt and concrete. But then we're worried about ruining, and going back to the water supply, ruining the Chesapeake Bay. And if you live in this area, you know how much energy is put into protecting the bay, right?
Yeah.
So when you have all of this when you have the rain come down and it hits all of this asphalt, and the runoff then goes into the bay and it takes all the silt and the sand and all the dirt with it, we can't have that. So now what we have is permeable asphalt. But they don't know how well permeable asphalt is going to work. So the county in Fairfax is not going to use it. The county in Fairfax requires developers to use it in private property, because then if it fails and needs to be replaced, the homeowners association has to take care of that.
Yeah.
So you see how they're kicking the ball down the line?
Sure. This is how they operate. There have been, if you begin to look at lots of the so-called environmental ideas that are being thrown at us to help the environment, to protect the environment, all these things you just said, you begin to find out they don't at all. One primary example of that are the wind power. When I first started in fighting these things, I would always get, when I do an interview, the call would come in. Tom, you know, they always talk like that.
You've got that down pat, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. You know, Tom, have you been in the, you know, the alpine rain, you know, the alpine forest or the rainforest? So on and on. And they'd call me the AstroTurf crowd, and all we wanted to do was pave the earth. Well, here's the interesting thing. If you wanted to just make up the energy shortage for the state of California using wind power, you would need an area the size of Connecticut, clear-cut and paved over with all the infrastructure just to do that. Not to mention, you know, if you're found walking through the woods with an eagle feather in your hand, you may face a fine and maybe 10 years in jail.
You're kidding.
That may not be exactly what the fine is, but it's a massive fine. However, it seems to be okay to have those same birds flying into these windmills and being chopped up. The Audubon Society actually calls them Cuisinarts in the air. You know?
You know, and then you have HOAs that absolutely will not allow you to hang your clothes, and I'm not one of the people who wants to go out and hang clothes on the clothesline, but there are a lot of people who want them. And they're not allowed to do that because they're going to devalue property, so they have to use their dryers, which is going to use up more electricity.
Well, see, they fight back and forth with these things.
They don't make sense.
They don't make sense because this is not, you know, human population moving forward, and this is somebody trying to control. They're trying to control every aspect of your life, and you know, there are differences of opinion in the environmental movement about things as well. But, when you try to control everything, you run into these things. One of the things you're not allowed to do is, in America, is tax a church. However, they can pay a fee. And that's where that rain runoff you were just talking about. What buildings have the biggest roofs, you know, anywhere in your community? Usually it's the church.
Yeah.
And they have a parking lot around it. Ah, we're going to get them with a fee for rainwater runoff. And, this whole idea that all that runs into the streams, runs into the ground, and then runs into the Chesapeake Bay, one of the things that Maryland's working on right now, they've got a thing called Plan Maryland, trying to lock away something like 400,000 acres of land, and they are trying to ban septic tanks in rural areas, again, to protect the Chesapeake Bay. There's no evidence whatsoever that septic tanks do anything. The evidence is they do a great job. But what happens when you can't have a septic tank in a rural area? Well, you might put $4 or $5 million into your own water purification system, your own sewage system, which, of course, these same people have to approve, or you can't live on the land. And that's part of the plan. We talk about the Wildlands Project as a part of the Agenda 21 plan. And it really is what the Biodiversity Treaty is the Wildlands Project, taking people off of rural land and moving them into cities. People say, how do you do that?
Yeah.
Well, let's just take away the septic tanks across the country, and let's see how many people can live out on those rural lands now. And step by step by step like that, they use these policies to herd you into where they want you to go.
Well, you talked about Michael Kaufman a while ago. Michael drew a map of the U.S. and sort of color-coded it where people are allowed to live. And you can see where people, you know, you're restricted to these teeny tiny little areas. And then the entire country is wide open.
Yeah, this map actually was created. Michael created it with information. He had the biodiversity plan. He had several other documents. He was missing some information. And he actually got it from, he wasn't supposed to have it. Somebody from the inside at The Hague in the Netherlands gave it to him by mistake. And what he did with that, he put that map together. The biodiversity treaty was up for a vote in the Senate to be ratified and to make it American law, and it was a done deal. It was going to pass no matter what. Michael got this map together. He got it into the hands of Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson, who got it onto the floor of the Senate 1 hour before that vote. And they all looked at it, and they said, whoa, and they voted. It's been tabled ever since then. I have said to Michael what he needs to do is break it down into congressional districts to show how no human beings could live in certain congressional districts. That might turn a congressman's head, to understand he's going to have no district.
It's amazing what one person can do, and I hear a lot of people say, well, what can one person do? I can't do anything. Look at what you guys have done. Look at what Michael's done with his map. You've put Agenda 21 up there on the skyline. There's a book called Agenda 21. It's a fiction by Glenn. I can't think of.
Well, Glenn Beck published it. I actually got an email the other day from the lady who actually wrote that, and Glenn Beck picked up on it and got it published for her with his name on it as a co-author or whatever. But and she got it from our materials. So,
and did Glenn Beck ever interview you on it? No.
This is a sore point with me.
Yeah.
He's used my materials. He's even done a link to my website. But he has all kinds of other people on, but he doesn't have me on. And I'm about to start a campaign to get people to email him and say, have me on. Because we are working on new ways to attack this, new ways to fight back, and I know if I could get on his show, his audience would be thrilled to hear what I'm doing and would get into it, and we could really make some progress on it. So, Glenn, it's a good show. Let me on.
Get Tom on. Tom, we're talking to Tom DeWeese from the American Policy Center, and Tom has got a resolution to protect property rights. You want to tell us about it?
Well, this is what I'm teaching people around the country.
So you can tell us about it. We'll get it out to my audience.
I will. And it's on our website at AmericanPolicy.org. It's called the Resolution to Protect Citizens' Property Rights. It's right on the front page. You can download it right from there. And what it is this. All these years that we've been teaching people about Agenda 21, somebody comes to my conference or comes to one of my speeches, and I'm telling them all the things we're talking about today, and they run out the door, and they run into their city council or county commissioners, and they start yelling, you're adopting Agenda 21. This is international, UN. Well, standing behind all of these elected officials that you don't see are all these NGO groups, these self-proclaimed stakeholders. And as you're standing there talking, they're whispering in their ear saying, the guy's nuts, pay no attention to him, don't worry, and of course, This issue is so massive. You're sitting there in the audience and you're thinking, as you just said, how can I, as one person, do anything about this? And what I'm telling them now is, okay, I just gave you the IMAX version of all this, and I've overwhelmed you, and you're thinking, what can you do? Focus. Bring the picture down into a way that you can relate. And that focus is private property rights. As I just said, you can't impose sustainable development Agenda 21 policies without somehow damaging private property rights. So instead of rushing out and yelling Agenda 21, you get those 3 minutes in front of your county commissioners, you walk up to them and you say, gentlemen, ladies, as you're bringing these plans and these planners into our community, I've just got one question for you. What guarantees do I have you'll protect my private property rights? Just ask that question. You have just asked the one question every property owner in the county wants an answer to. You haven't brought up Agenda 21. You haven't brought up the UN. You haven't even attacked planning. You have just asked this one question. And I guarantee you, they will say to you, oh, of course we will. Hey, I'm a property owner too. You just smile and say, well, I'm really happy to hear you say that, but ladies, gentlemen, I'd like to have it in writing, please. Now watch them scramble. All this resolution says, it has 3 points to it. It says, if they're going to discuss plans that will affect your property, they'll bring you into the discussion. There's a radical idea. If they decide to go ahead and do it, then they will compensate you for whatever loss that you have occurred. And the third point is these self-proclaimed stakeholders and these planning commissions cannot just come onto your property willy-nilly and make their plans and map things out and decide what they're going to do without your written permission. That's what this does. This is not a legal document, not pretending that it is. What you're really doing is you're polling your elected officials on their morality, on where they stand on private property, because I guarantee you they won't sign it. Why won't they sign it? And that's what you ask them, the most radical question in the English language, why? And they'll have all kinds of reasons why they can't do this. But the real reason is those NGOs are standing behind them knowing full well if they sign this document, the jig is up. They can't get sustainable development policies and all these visionary things, all these planning programs in the community can't be done if they sign this document. What you're really doing is you're laying down the groundwork to get these guys out of office. They have now exposed themselves for what they are. Now you begin to lay a plan down. First and foremost, do not try to do this alone, because the minute you go in by yourself and ask the question and they say no, then poof, you're gone, and that's the end of it, on to the next subject. But what you need to have is 10 and 15 more people get up and say, why? In my presentations, I have the entire audience stand up and shout why, and I tell them that's the way your county commissioner meetings need to sound. They need to hear from you, not from these stakeholders. And you need to overpower them. And what you need to do then is begin to make it an issue. There are lots of ways. We've got a booklet on my website. It's called it's a special report, Agenda 21 and How to Stop It. Everything I'm talking about right here is in it. It's $6. It's got the resolution in it, and it'll tell you how to put a plan together to run these people out of office. And more importantly, all of those stakeholders, all those NGO groups that are standing back there, they're all private organizations. They have no more influence, no more power in your community than you do as an individual, unless these elected officials give it to them.
Exactly.
And what you need to do is get those guys out of there and put new elected officials in who won't, and you'll watch all these power mongers, all these dictators, all these tyrannical people trying to tell you how to live your life. They will dry up and blow away if you can get rid of them, if you get elected officials who will do that.
For my regular listeners, does that sound like anyone we know? CAI, Community Associations Institute, is the one who really pushes HOAs, a $65 billion annual industry.
Yep.
And they sit there in the rooms in Richmond, just holding the walls up in the back, you know, because they're the ones who are writing all of the lobbying for laws and writing the laws, and then when the legislators are there to defend their laws, they don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea, so they have to bring in these attorneys to come and explain why the law is needed, which it isn't, but, you know.
Well, that's what they do, and that's where they get their power. That's why they have their power. That's what, you know, all this money involved. They are all living. The American Planning Association, the group you just mentioned, ICLEI, all these organizations are living off these grant programs. They're living off of your money that you are having to pay in taxes, that they're being, you know, they figured out how to get it in their pockets. And but the only reason that they have that power is because the people you elect in office, who are supposed to be representing you, listen to them and give them that power. If you get people who are in there saying, nope, get out of here, not going to pay. This is what we had, 150 cities that have thrown ICLEI out. That's a start. That's just a start. We have to get rid of the rest of them, and they'll dry up and blow away. So if they can't get their if you can't get their elected officials to do anything, then, you know, what are they going to do? So.
Yeah.
They're going to feel like you. That's what they're going to feel like.
Well, Tom, have you talked to any of the legislators? Have you talked to any county officials or even state elected officials about this?
Oh, yes.
Do you have anybody that is on your side? Because sometimes it's hard to get them there, but once they're there and once they understand what's going on.
Yeah, first of all, the first county in the country to throw out ICLEI was Carroll County, Maryland. We hadn't had any success up until then. Richard Rothschild, remember, he ran, when was this, 2010, I believe it was. He ran a campaign with four other county people running for county commissioner, And they ran on a slate, basically running against sustainable development in all these programs. And they won, and they got in, and the first thing they did was end the membership in ICLEI, first in the world to do that. They got rid of the sustainable development manager, who became their worst enemy, everything they could, he opposed everything they were doing. They took the comprehensive development plan and sent it back to the Planning Commission and said, don't send this back to us until it adheres to the Constitution of the United States and protects property rights. Those are the first three things they've done. Since then, they have done amazing things. Richard was absolutely targeted by the unions in Carroll County, Maryland, to be wiped out in his reelection bid. He just won by 58%.
Don't you love it when a plan comes together?
Yeah. And, of course, we got the folks down in Roanoke who have taken the same stand. We've got two county commissions in Ohio that have rejected regional government in two different parts of the state, and Lordstown, Ohio, also did it. They put a resolution together to stay out of the regional government. Those things are happening. We've got a state legislator in Washington State, Matt Shea, who put together a Freedom Coalition, and they have rejected one thing after another. They've made some magnificent progress on things. San Francisco, of all places, people rose up there and stopped a regional plan to the utter shock of the planners there. That's the example they keep using as why they've got to stop us. And my favorite one is Baldwin County, Alabama, where our people protesting the development plan, finally the county board rejected the plan, and the entire planning commission and zoning board resigned en masse in protest. And when they did that in this public meeting, the audience stood up and sang God Bless America.
Wow, that must have been quite something.
So
that must have been something.
Yes, yeah.
So you've had a lot of success doing this.
These are baby steps, but we have liken it to is it's D-Day. We're on Normandy Beach, and we just got a beachhead, and we're moving inland. That's how I like to relate it to. It's very tiny. We can be stopped at any time. But the thing is that all of this is built on a house of cards, on lies. And it can all come crashing down overnight if people begin to realize what it is that's happening to them.
So you started off, and you were probably the lone voice. You said there were four of you. In this country, that's a lone voice. You know, when you have everybody. Yeah, it is pretty lonely. And yet you persisted and you stuck to it, and you did not give up. A lot of people do give up. But you did not give up. You stuck with it, and you're starting to see a lot of changes happening. What do you attribute the greatest? What do you attribute the greatest single item to start turning the tides for you? What happened?
Well, you just had one community after another having these development plans and so forth. In 2010, I put out, I was watching the Tea Party come together, and I was seeing they were fighting the Fed, they were fighting health care, taxes, gun control, all the usual stuff. And I wrote a special report, and I said, the Tea Party cannot restore the Republic without this information. And the whole thing was on Agenda 21, Sustainable Development, and detailed it. That went viral through the Tea Party movement. It's still one of the top two issues of the whole movement. We were having the presidential election and the primaries, and people, the candidates were up there, selling their programs, and people would start to stand up and ask about Agenda 21, and none of these candidates knew what they were talking about, and I'm talking to Republican candidates. And people would shout out to them when they gave some feeble answer. People would shout out to them, call Tom DeWeese. Newt Gingrich did. And I explained to one of his guys all about this. The next thing I knew, I was out in Montana speaking, and the internet went crazy because Newt Gingrich had just gone on Sean Hannity and talked about Agenda 21, and he brought it up. And then in the next debate, he brought it up again. It became an issue. And that's when the tinfoil hats started to be removed from our heads, and we began to get some foothold, and people began to listen. We began to move forward.
Well, I'm really proud of you because I've known you for a while, a few years now, and you've been on the show before, but I've been watching all of the huge steps. I mean, you call them baby steps. But when you consider what you're dealing with, I think they're huge steps.
Well, considering that our opposition has hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and we've got this tiny little, you know, we just go hand to mouth every day. But we are a true grassroots movement, and the reports, the attacks, just in the last 2 months, obviously we have hurt them so badly that they have decided they've got to do something about us. And in the last 2 months, it started. The American Planning Association put out an attack, and basically they keep trying to figure out how to neutralize us in our people in public meetings. That was followed by a direct attack by the Southern Poverty Law Center. 23-page report cited me 23 times. And said, all roads lead to me. I'm the bad boy.
Oh, you poor guy.
I know. That was followed by an attack by the Natural Resources Defense Council that the new tack they're taking on us is our opposition, our crazy conspiracy theories are damaging America. We're endangering America. That was picked up by treehugger.com. A guy who writes on there, this is the second time he's done this, he calls me the conspiracy king. That was followed by a cover article in Newsweek called The Plots to Destroy America Attacking Us. That was followed by an article in Esquire magazine, and that was followed by an attack against us, particularly against Rosa Corey, who is the head of Democrats against Agenda 21, and that was in Fortune magazine. And it was interesting because when they interviewed her, they decided they needed to even up the playing field. So they added the Southern Poverty Law Center and ICLEI into the discussion. And so now it became 2-1, which in our case is usually more than even.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty even. Even Stephen right there. So Tom, they're taking away property rights all left, right, and center. I mean, you can't even decide how many rose bushes you want, or how many pets you can own, or, you know, all of that, and keep in your own house. So if they keep stripping away, and we talk about, you know, the American dream as being home ownership. If they keep stripping away at our rights, our property rights, how valuable is our property? How valuable are our homes?
Your property becomes worthless, and property ownership is the reason, is the center of why we have a middle class. And no society can ever exist, especially in freedom, without a strong middle class. That's what keeps freedom there. 60% of the businesses in this country were started by people using equity on their private property as a way to finance their company. And 60% of the workers in this country work for such companies that were started that way. So, you know, this is vital to the economy of the United States. But what we're beginning to see is that diminish. We're seeing more and more and more people lose their property and their equity in it, and not able to, to invest in it and so forth. So we're seeing this happen. And one of the things, some of the stuff that's happened in trying to fight back, Alabama was the first state that stood up and passed a bill, and the governor signed it against Agenda 21 and to protect property rights. But I've had a major problem with that legislation and some of the others because I find it kind of toothless. And the reason I find it toothless is because they don't define their terms. You can't put a bill together that just says, we're not going to allow any programs that are connected to Agenda 21 or the United Nations in our state, and we're going to protect property rights. Well, the other side never uses the term Agenda 21. They'll always tell you, oh, this is just local. That has nothing to do with that. So first of all, that's neutralized. second of all, when you're talking about property rights, you know, 40, 50 years ago, I could have stood in front of you and said, you know, this is my property, cross that line and suffer the consequences. And everybody knew what I meant. You know, this is mine. I'll defend it and I'll do what I, you know, this is my home, is my castle. Well, today you do that and they go, oh my, you're so violent. You're so vicious. This is wrong. You know, we've got to do something about that. So what is a property right? Well, what we've done, and it's vital that you define your terms if you're going to engage in the battle so that you know what you're talking about. And I think it's very important that if you organize a group that you're going to start to work on these things, the very first meeting you have, write down what your intentions are, what your goals are, what your definitions are, because if you begin to get successful, you may get a knock on the door one day from somebody who says they're going to help you, and they begin to work inside, and mm-hmm. you might begin to see the goals changing, and maybe they'll, if you stay adamant about your goals, they may turn the rest of the group against you. You know, they're holding up our, she's holding up our progress here. Right. We could, if we just compromise over here, write it all down. But importantly, define your terms, and the definition that I'm using on property rights is, it was written by a Supreme Court justice in the state of Washington, and he wrote it because they were handling so many Fifth Amendment cases that he felt they needed a definition in order to rule on them. His name is Richard B. Sanders. He did this in 1997, and this is the definition that he wrote. Property in a thing consists not merely in its ownership and possession, but in the unrestricted right of use, enjoyment, and disposal. Anything which destroys any of the elements of property to that extent destroys the property itself. The substantial value of property lies in its use. If the right of use be denied, the value of the property is annihilated and ownership is rendered a barren right.
I like that. That's very good.
Covers everything.
It does. Use.
Yeah, because you can sit there and pay your taxes and pay your mortgage all you want, but if you can't use your property as you want, then, you know, and without damaging somebody else's rights, it's the same thing, obviously, but then your property's worthless to you.
We have about 3 minutes left, Tom.
It
goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, you talked about paying your taxes, and a couple of weeks ago I had Sylvia Wright on, and Sylvia is a homeowner, not in an HOA, down in Southern Virginia, who has a large piece of property that she posted according to the laws in Virginia. And the police have told her, in effect, that they will not protect her property, even though it is posted. Whereas I think technically they're supposed to do that, and that's what she's paying her taxes for.
Yeah, it's what we're starting to see is the police forces in this country are being used against those of us who are standing up to speak out. And let me tell you something. One of the, you know, I mentioned the Southern Poverty Law Center a couple of times here. The Southern Poverty Law Center is at the root of a lot of this. They have contracts with the Department of Homeland Security, and they have contracts with police forces around the country to train officers on how to watch for, to know a domestic terrorist. And you start looking at the reports that they put out, that the Department of Homeland Security puts out, that are basically written by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they are saying that people who advocate private property rights, people who advocate limited government, people who advocate gun rights, you know, all these different things, are domestic terrorists. And you're starting to see now that when we show up at meetings, immediately the police are called in and they're told, you know, to get rid of us because we're disruptive forces and we're dangerous. There have been people who have been actually pulled over. There's a case of a guy in Louisiana that was pulled over by a police officer. He said, "Why'd you pull me over?" He pointed at his NRA bumper sticker. You know, this stuff is taking hold, and our police forces are becoming more militarized, and you're seeing some really vicious things happen, and I think that's the most frightening part of the whole thing. And any community that's allowing that to happen, then you got to take a long look at who these people are.
If you live in an HOA and you're known to go in and ask embarrassing questions, where's our money going? the police will come at, you know, at the behest of the board, and they will arrest homeowners to prevent them from going into a meeting that they're perfectly entitled to attend. And they're either taking them downtown and throwing them in jail, or they're handcuffing them and putting them in the back of a cruiser during the duration of the meeting so they can't attend the meeting. That's what your tax dollars are paying for.
Yeah, they just keep saying that all of us are conspiracy theorists, that we're dangerous. Domestic terrorists is a line thrown out. And, you know, this report from the Southern Poverty Law Center that came out in April called Agenda 21, the UN Sustainability and Right-Wing Conspiracy Theory, it flat out says at the end that they call us zealots, and they say that local communities need to stop listening to us and just do it. That's it. Just do it.
Just do it, huh?
Yeah, pay no attention to the constituents in your community. You know? So,
Tom, thank you so very much for coming on.
My pleasure.
And sharing your knowledge, and good luck and continued success.
We're going to keep pushing.
I expect you to do so. And as we leave, the website is AmericanPolicy.org, right?
That's correct. Yeah, all this information is there, and the resolution, everything, you can get it right there on the site.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.